Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
How many eggs have you eaten?
Probably too many, but hey ho, who's counting?
I love it so much. I love doing the Easter egg hunt for the kids. That is my favorite thing to do, like on the Easter Sunday. It's just, you know, getting everything set up in the garden, you know, making it kind of magical for them. Although one year I completely fucked up and did it the night before, and then the fox came in and ate all of them.
I was going to say that.
All of them.
Yeah. That. So we've done it before. This is mad, actually, thinking about it. But we did it before when we hid all the eggs and they all melted because it was that hot. And it's just not now, is it? Like, I can't even... That was only... Could have been a couple of years ago. But yeah, wow. No. I actually prefer Easter to Christmas because
you wash your filthy mouth out.
No, I do. There's less pressure. Like, you still, like, I don't know about you guys, but we still get together with our family, like our whole family who would be there on Christmas Day. We get together on Easter Sunday. So no. We still have that whole like family get together, but there's less pressure. There's less stress in the lead up to it and it's brighter. So for me, like I have, like I enjoy it more because there's no running around or stress for me.
It's not magical. There's no elf getting up to naughty stuff. There's no weird creepy guy coming down the chimney.
No, you know, I know, but it's just not as stressful and there's not as much pressure.
I do hear you.
I do prefer it. I do.
Are you cooking one of your specialities on Easter Sunday this year? Because we're obviously recording this a little bit in advance.
We are actually taking a couple of weeks off for the Easter holidays. But no, I'm not. And that is probably why I don't feel as stressed because my auntie always hosts Easter at her house.
Right.
She's got like the most beautiful garden, which has got all like little hidden areas. And, you know, just like it's lovely. It's really lovely at Easter to be there. So no, I'm not doing any of the legwork.
Lovely. And that's why you prefer it.
And that is why I prefer it. I know
you are. I'll go skiing. Yes. I'm so excited. I've now sort of got my head around the fact I picked up my knee brace last week. I've had that, you know, properly made and done. And I've been doing obviously all my physio. My knee's really strong. I've been squatting. I've been jumping. I've been doing lots of plyometric stuff. Like I'm ready to go, but I've just got to take it easy.
Yeah. I mean, for anyone listening who doesn't know, was it about a year ago that you
had... Exactly a year ago.
Yeah. A year ago, you had quite a bad skiing accident, didn't you?
And had to have ACL surgery.
So to be back skiing like within a year is amazing.
It is exciting, but I just don't want to be nervous. And I was saying that to the knee brace guy. I was like, I feel really nervous. And he's like, you can't be nervous skiing. You've got to just, you know, remember that you've done it since you were little. So you'll probably the first couple of runs, you'll be a bit tentative, but then you've just got to keep your speed down. And just because it's quite slushy as well, there isn't much snow. Like I saw some of my mates went last weekend and they were literally skiing in mud. They were calling it mud skiing.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. And you're going the week later. So I don't know if you'll be out there sunbathing in your swimming costume.
Well, that suits me. That's perfect for me.
I can't wait to see what you're... Do you know what I'm so excited about? I cannot wait to see Georgia on a pair of skis and you film it. Please, please, for God's sakes, for all of us, film it.
oh my God, don't. I actually can't talk about it because as we're approaching, I'm getting like even more nervous.
This is great. But this is what we all need in our lives.
Yeah, we've all got to try new things, haven't we? That's the moral of the story.
Exactly.
You know.
It's going to be so good.
Oh my God.
It's going to be so good. Oh. We need to get into our podcast today, which isn't about skiing or trying new things. Although the conversation that we had, which was the second podcast that we recorded at our amazing live event at Albright a couple of weeks back, was with somebody that we'd had on the podcast before. Now, she talked about an expert in her field, and we really wanted to have a conversation around what happens to us as mothers after, you know, the kids are kind of, you know, you're out the woods slightly and you're thinking about either returning to work or figuring out who you are post having your babies and just kind of picking that apart a little bit, because it is a minefield.
Yeah, it is. And I think with so much of, you know, what we talk about on the podcast is always when we're feeling overwhelmed and that we can't quite like navigate like our career and we can't quite see how we can balance that with work, you know, with a home life and having friendships and like all that kind of stuff. So I find these conversations so important as almost like a reminder. And actually Laura says it in the episode that you can do anything, but not everything. And
yeah. And she also talks about the should, the feeling, Georgia, around like, we should be doing this and we should be doing that. And hey, listen, if you're listening and you're a stay at home mum and, you know, you're not, this isn't a conversation around careers and getting back into work. This is a conversation around navigating the new norm. Yeah. What motherhood looks like to you. And so it will talk to all of you listening today. It is a brilliant conversation. And I don't know about you, but I was busy making loads of mental notes when she was talking. It really, really served a lot of people in the room that night.
Yeah, no, me too. And I just think it's a good reminder. And actually I realized how many times I say should, even in this episode. No. She told us not to.
Yeah, it's great, it's wonderful, stick around for it. It's a beautiful conversation recorded live at the Albright. Georgia, who are we talking to?
Right, we're gonna hear from life coach and founder of Mind Mummy Coaching, Laura Guckian.
We are going to be talking about careers, the silent battles that we face, the mum guilt, all the highs, the lows, and everything else that we feel going back into work or continuing to work throughout, the sort of early years of when our kids are really little. It is really difficult. I particularly struggle with how much Luna, Kit, and Isla say to me, "Are you leaving in the night?" And I go, "Well, I'm actually doing my favourite job in the entire world, which I've grafted my arse off for, but no," lying through my teeth as I cry as I shut the door. It never gets easier. It is a really difficult one to kind of navigate. But we do have someone here this evening who's hopefully going to give us all the answers.
She's an expert.
And she's going to put us back together. Please welcome founder of Mind Mummy Coaching. And she's got a number one podcast called Mum Fessions. She's helped over 4,000 mums achieve positive mental well-being. In 2023, she was nominated for a special recognition award. Please put your hands together and give a warm, warm welcome to Laura Guckian. And she said she didn't have an outfit.
Yeah, she didn't. Look at that top.
She's lying.
Lovely.
Didn't have an outfit earlier today. I had half of it.
Now, Laura, you're here to just solve all our problems.
No pressure at all. To follow up on Hillary's amazing talk, and now I'm going to solve everything. There we go.
Laura, for those people in the room that don't know, could you please just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes. I am Laura Guckian, most importantly, mum of three. I have a 7-year-old, 4-year-old, 2-year-old. I am the founder of Mind Mummy Coaching. So I am a life coach for mums. And I recently launched my new podcast, Mum Fessions. And yes, I'm all about normalizing all of the challenges we feel as mums, the stuff that makes us feel like we're alone, we're doing it wrong, and giving mums the tools they need to feel happier and essentially ditch the guilt and do whatever we need and want, because we just don't have time for it.
Yeah. Look, Laura, what sort of stuff do like your clients come to you with? Like what comes up the most, you know, most often?
It's interesting. I get asked this a lot, and I work with clients. My mums are like from first time mum being pregnant to mum of teenagers. They all come with different challenges, but the same theme is there. Just not feeling like they're enough, not feeling like they're doing it right. Guilt. And we use guilt a lot, that word, to describe so many things. But it's just, it makes me so sad because we're a generation of mothers that feel like we're constantly failing. But yet, there's never been a higher expectation placed on mothers. We've never been doing so much. But yet, regardless of what that is, we feel like we're failing. We feel like we're doing it wrong. And as a result, all the mums I speak to are completely depleted and worn out. And it's a really, it's a tough cycle.
Yeah.
I think as well, I don't know about anybody in the room, but I think it's only in the last couple of years that I have really figured out what my pie chart of life looks like. As in, before it was just 50% working, 50% parenting. And someone who we actually had on the podcast said to me, well, hang on a minute, what about, you know, your socializing or your self-care or, you know, just going out and getting drunk with your girlfriends. Doesn't even have to be for a week, just for a night. And I was like, God, fuck, I don't have any of that. Yeah. And I don't understand, you know, before kids, how I didn't have any of that feeling of guilt, like I wasn't doing it. And then suddenly there's all this pressure on you to perform a certain way and to be, you know, these perfectly created children on Instagram. I don't understand what's happened to the world to make us feel
why
like that.
Why do we feel like
I think... The pressure is greater because, and you've just said it there, we've the introduction of social media. So if you look at our mums and even our grandmothers, I'm sure they had challenges. You know, I remember my mum telling me how her mum had like 9 kids and she would just have a baby upstairs and come down and make dinner. And I'm like, oh my God. But actually...
What, you mean actually give birth or leave the baby up there? What do you mean?
No, like she'd give birth upstairs and then just make dinner.
Oh,
like,
I literally thought you meant... I honestly thought that because I thought, oh, we're not supposed to do that.
Like this was like 1950s Ireland. So she would have the baby, like maybe a neighbour was a nurse or something and would come and help. And a few hours after having the baby would just continue with her motherhood duties. And I was like, wow. But when I think about it, I think that generation of mothers were happier because the pressure and the expectations weren't there. They sort of had their own circle. And I think what's happened now is we have at our fingertips comparisons. Mm. And as we know, and I definitely know now, social media is not real. So we're looking at other women feeling like they're doing it better, they're doing it more, they're doing it right. But actually, what we have to remember is that might be real and valid, but we all have very different supports. We all have different villages and we just can't compare to someone else. So there might be another mum you're looking at that appears to have it all, which is rubbish. But she might have someone helping her clean her home. She might have full-time childcare. She might be in a very different financial position. But that's really having a negative impact on us, social media.
I also wonder as well, I think we read somewhere that like 75% of mums are working now, which is growing every year, which is amazing. But I think a lot of us, I don't know about in this room, but maybe had mums who stayed at home or, you know, grandmas who stayed at home or whatever, like I did. My mum was at home until I think I was in secondary school pretty much. And so I haven't, you know, followed that route and, you know, I've had a career, but there's always that thing in the back of my mind. And I think, I don't know if that's an extra added pressure of, oh gosh, should I not be doing this? And should I actually be at home?
And you've cracked it there because you've said the word should. So when I hear the word should, I catch myself and my clients are not allowed to say it. So the shoulds are the things we feel pressure to do. Mm. It's not actually something we genuinely need to do. And they generally drive the guilt. So subconsciously, our belief system around motherhood has been absorbed since we were little girls, what we've seen our parents do, the movies, advertising. And that's in our brain, whether we realize it or not. So if we're doing something slightly different to that, then that equals a bad mum, even though it's not true. So I think part of the work I do with mums is identifying their shoulds, getting rid of them so we can focus on what you need and want. Because as you say, logically, I know I'm not doing anything wrong. I love my career, but yet it's there and it's really tough. And yes, you may have had a mum who worked or didn't, but remember, that's only part of the influence on your belief system around motherhood. Yeah. Everything else has formed it. And I often say, I think as mums, if we were the only mother in the world and we had nobody to compare ourselves to, would you actually feel like that? Would you have that guilt or would you instinctively go, wait, I'm doing this because I need or want to?
But then how much of the language around us, I don't know how many times have you heard people that haven't had children yet saying, well, I'm not ready yet. I've just got to get everything done. Mm. And then I go,
what do you mean? Like, there is a life after children.
Yeah, it doesn't
and that,
stop.
That might be something that you have no idea is coming for you, but might set you on fire and alight more than you ever thought possible.
It's so just why, different.
Why are people still saying that? Like, motherhood, you're fucked.
Yeah.
No, that's not because it's not what happens.
I think there's two answers to that. I think one, the sad reality is for a lot of women that is the case because of their career and the consequence that has on their career, their relationships, their friendships. And I think that's something that can happen in the short term. And then I think there's other women that it doesn't happen and it's a mix. And I think the challenge is we're either fed two extremes, that motherhood is this amazing thing and you're going to feel all of this, or it's this terrible thing. And the reality is it's somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if it's feeling really terrible, then we feel like we're alone. And if it's feeling really great, then it's like, oh, but will this last forever?
Yeah.
You know, so I think there's two extreme narratives. Right. When the reality is it's chapters. Some chapters are easier than others. Some chapters are harder. And it's circumstances. And depending on which one we're in, it's different.
Yeah.
Why do we find it so hard to say to the people around us that we're having a rubbish day? Why do we feel we always have to present when it comes to it's the judgment.
It's interesting. I did research on this last year. I did research with 2,000 mums across Ireland and the UK, and they didn't surprise me the findings, but over 92% of them said they struggled with their mental health since becoming a mum. Mm. And the really sad statistic was over a third said even for a brief moment they regretted becoming a mum because it was so much harder than they imagined. And I think that's really sad to hear. And when I share those results, it was just women going, oh my God, I thought it was just me. I thought I was a terrible mum. And I think it's important to talk about that and go, you can find it hard and be an amazing mum, but there's no narrative around it being hard and being a good mum. It's like,
how many times did we say, me and Georgia used to ring each other up and go, what is this life?
What is this life?
We do not want this.
Yeah.
We love them, but what? Like, it was so overwhelming. The feelings and like the highs and the lows, it was like, and yet we had to stand up and go, no, really great. Yeah, no, really great. Yeah. Except through the night.
And actually, that's interesting because we say, you know, we're putting on this front in front of friends and, you know, family members. But what about at work? Like, do you tell your clients to have a different, like, put on a front at work? Do you have a career personality? Like, what? How do you navigate that?
That's such an interesting one because a lot of my clients come to me when they're returning to work and there's this fear of, oh my goodness, I don't want to go back to work. And they could be 6 months out. And I think it's a tough one because there's two answers to that. When we become mothers, we go through matrescence, right? So matrescence is like adolescence, but for mums. And when that happens, we fundamentally change our values, our belief systems. We are different. So if you've never been at work as a mum before, you are going to be fundamentally different. So I think you have to go back to work and be you, which is really hard because very often there's the pressure of, will I do the job the same? Will I be as good? I'm a little bit rusty, but actually I think when you go through maternity leave, you come back stronger because, oh my goodness, if you've navigated sleep deprivation and all of those additional skills. So I always say to my clients, go back in as you are now, and you can't really lose at that.
I remember going into Heart after do you remember I had to go back and do Sundays?
Yeah.
They were like, it's all right, we'll put you on the Sunday afternoon shift. And I remember thinking, I can handle this. And I think Luna must have been 3 months old. Went in and I was like, don't worry, guys, I'm just going to go use my breast pump in the studio. And I remember sitting in there and going, and just like thinking, there's a camera over there. Turn around to the door, Mark Wright, Gethin Jones, just looking through the door at me like that. And I was thinking, this is fucking funny, isn't it? And thinking, what am I doing? I'm trying to perform.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be funny Zoe, silly Zoe. But this is really serious
stuff. Have changed.
I have changed fundamentally. And I remember walking out and thinking, see you in 3 months. Like, I'm not ready for this. I can't do it.
And I think it's the permission to own that change. Like, again, in that research, we ask them, what's the biggest thing you worry about at work? And you would imagine that to be, oh, can I do my job?
Mm-hmm.
And over a third of them said, if the phone rings and it's nursery or school. And it's this, and I see it all the time with my clients, it's this low level anxiety of, what do I do?
Why can't we just be honest? Do you know what I mean? Like, why have we got this set up in the workplace where it's like, oh, it's nursery. Yeah. You know, like go and hide. Oh, God. Oh, sorry, I've got to leave. Or like, right, find out. In fact, like my husband today, he, on a Wednesday, one kid's got one activity, the other kid's got the other activity. So tonight, Natalie, who looks after the kids on a Wednesday, has taken Axel, and he's like, right, what am I going to say? What shall I say then? And I'm like...
Who's his employer?
Yeah. Who, by the way, his boss is a mum of four.
Well, yeah.
I said, I tell you what you say. You just say you're taking Gigi to gymnastics.
You just say the words.
And he was like, really? I was like, honestly, just say it. What do you think is going to happen? He looked at me like... baffled, like honestly, like what? And then he messaged me and he was like, it worked. I was like, yeah. No shit, of course it
worked.
There's
no secret code.
Yeah, what's she gonna do?
Like, yeah, it's really sad though. And I think I think a lot of organizations are changing. I did a corporate talk recently and I didn't know the CEO was sitting there, thankfully. And it was really lovely because it was a small group. And at the end, he's like, I actually thought I was helping women. I'm not, like we thought we'd policies. So I think the more women can be honest and go, look, I'm now back at work. I'm amazing at my job. In fact, I'm probably better than I ever was, but this is how I can deliver. And if organizations start looking at it in, what do we need to give her so that she can deliver her job? Because there's so much talent being wasted. Yeah. Yes. Be pushed out.
And if we keep hiding and covering it up, it's never going to get better.
It's never.
So it's almost like our responsibility
and that's hard.
To raise the challenges and say it. And it's hard like to fight it out. Of course it is. But ultimately, there's going to be, you know, women in your team who are looking at you because they want to have a family. Yep. And they'll be looking at you like, okay, right, well, she's done it. So I, you know, I can do it.
Let's go and storm the old blue chip companies in the city, shall we? Who's up for it? They won't be there now. Oh, they will be because they work all the hours.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we? Let's kick off with this. Born on looking for a new career. Have a demanding job that often drains me. What should I do?
Again, heard should. I hear this a lot. And okay, the first challenge I'd put to this mum is, how do you know it's the career that you want to change? Because I see this all the time. My clients come, I want to change my career. I want to become self-employed. And when we step back and look at their entire life, sometimes it's not actually the career. It's something else. That's the first thing. If you're changing your career, I think it's about recognizing it takes time. There's not a quick switch to go, oh, I'm going to become self-employed or I'm going to go into this. So think about what you enjoy. If you don't know what you enjoy, start doing different things. Like my career prior to this was I worked in corporate marketing for 15 years. If you had told me 4 years ago you will be a life coach with your own business and a podcast, I would have laughed. I would have thought, well, maybe I'll be self-employed in marketing. So it's about seeing what you enjoy and then taking note of all the skills you have, either in the professional world and your personal life, and then go, well, what's the gap here? Is it knowledge? Do I have to retrain? Is it finance? Is it time? And just map out tiny, tiny steps, because I think as mums, we can do anything but not everything. And it's about realistic steps and knowing it can take time, but it can totally happen. But first, is it actually your career?
Yeah.
And have you got a mate that you can team up with? Because if we'd been on our own, I mean, Georgia would have done it, but I would still be chatting about it.
I mean, this is the million-dollar question, isn't it? Any tips on balancing career, family and friendships? Because that's the thing, isn't it? Yep. We talk about balancing career and family, but what about all of the other stuff?
Honestly, this is the number one mumfession that comes into the podcast. It's all around that word balance. I'm not balancing at all. I'm not doing enough. Like, again, define what balance means. So I talk about that in terms of a chair. And if I describe it like this, it's like prior to becoming mums, we were sitting on a chair with four legs. And it's like we weren't even aware we were sitting on anything. Like, we just did it. And then you become a mother and all the legs are whacked off, or you're left with one and you're suddenly very aware that you're balancing and you feel like you might fall over and it's exhausting you and everything's just harder. So when I think of balance, it's not about trying to do everything. It's about trying to do what you need and want. Yeah. So get the important legs back down. So when she's saying they're friends and work and kids, so redefine it. What do you need from your friends? Is it connection? Is it meeting them in person? Is it a voice note? Like, I know when I'm in the depths of bad days of motherhood or really busy at work, it's just a quick voice note with my friend. Yeah. I don't have the time to meet them. You know, with work, what is it? What does it look like? That elusive thing of balance, what would that look like to you and how can you do it? Because I really firmly believe this, we can do anything but not everything. Yeah. And balance isn't about doing more. It's maybe about doing less and doing slightly more of what you need, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess there's so many like things that you feel like you should be doing.
Yeah, it's not about the shoulds. Yeah. Like balancing for me right now is literally my career and my children.
Yeah.
Like friends have taken a bit of a back burner, even relationship with my partner. Like I give all of my time to my career and kids. And for my chapter, that's what balance means.
And that's fine. And that's something else as well, isn't it? Because we talk about trying to have all of the things, but actually we probably can't have all of the things at the same time.
What?
Sorry.
Unless you've the village, and I'll stand over that as well, which is quite controversial. But like, you may look at someone who has it all, but think of their village.
Yeah.
Like we all have different support.
But isn't it amazing as well how we can't talk about childcare? So this is something that we discuss loads on the podcast, and people message us being like, "Oh my god, how do you guys do it all?" We're like, because we have to pay someone to help us. Because I think I'm going to be judged for not doing it all myself. Yeah. Like when one of the lovely mums at school who isn't trying to be an arsehole comes up to me and says, "Oh my God, I haven't seen you for ages." And I go, "That's because I'm pretty busy. And I could just go, "Yeah, that's because I'm working and I should be okay with that." But it's a weird thing that I'm supposed to have the career and everyone say, "Oh, aren't you doing really well?" But also, "Aren't you at every single pickup and drop off?" Mm. It's just not possible.
And I think the core to that is everyone's village is different. So I'll describe my village. My village is childcare, screen time, frozen pizza. Like, it's not like the village, in the absence of people, we have to create our village and do whatever it takes and cut corners. So if I have a day where I'm maybe sick and maybe one of the kids is home and I'm trying to do work, we're doing screen time all day, frozen pizza. I can't function. And I think that's what we have to get our head around, that the village isn't necessarily this magic team that's going to show up. It's not people. The village is about reducing the expectation you're placing on yourself, cutting corners where you need to, leaning into the stuff that we're told we shouldn't do. Because at the end of the day, what do we want to be? We want to be happy mums. We want healthy kids. We can only do that if we're happy.
But we also have to be okay with the fact that if we do that, we're going to have to see, you know, Martha on Instagram, who's done like a 10k bike ride with her kids.
But has she done it?
Yes, you.
Martha hasn't done it. I guarantee she hasn't. She probably hasn't. And if she has, well, then maybe she has a very different village. And that's the thing. There's no point leaning into that stuff if you're feeling the guilt. We literally have no time for guilt. No time. It serves no purpose at all. And any of my clients, I'm like, that is the first thing we are knocking out of you, because that is the number one thing that will improve your mental health as a mom. It does not serve a purpose. It's about, is this something I need or want? And if I do, then how do we do it? But guilt has no purpose.
How are we knocking it out of ourselves then?
It's about really we can do a big exercise here if you want of listing. Like, I'll put you to work. All of your beliefs around what I hate this saying, a good mum. I hate it.
Mum.
If you write that down and go, what does she look like? What does she feel like? What are her relationships like? Like, literally describe her. And that's hard to do. That could be 20 things. That could be 4 things. And then challenge it and go, is that fair? Is that realistic? Do I actually know anyone that does that? And then go, if I were to do that, would I actually be happy? Is that what I need and want? And you really start to challenge it. And every time you hear yourself say should or shouldn't, I've caught all of your shoulds here tonight. You have to catch it and go, why am I saying that? Do I need or want it?
Yeah.
Because I fundamentally do not experience mum guilt. And I did for years.
Who here in the room might have like a little kitchen party with their friend or their partner and maybe stay up a bit too late and then get into bed and then wake up the next morning and be like, I'm going to be the most perfect mum today and I'm going to do everything with them and just feel like absolute shit and just wish for 7 o'clock to come. Why can't we just leave beanbags outside the bedroom with iPads and be like, you get on, like, there's some dried shreddies over there. You just get the fuck on with it.
I do that, Zoe.
Yeah, do you? So like, Laura does it. We can do it.
I'm sorry. My 4-year-old sometimes wakes at 5. And do you know what I give him? Yeah. the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's happy. He's fine. I get an extra hour of sleep and then I'm not angry mother. I would rather my children remember a bit of screen time than their mother being angry. Like that, like yeah, it's very black so and white true. For me. Yes.
Do you know, we've spoken a lot tonight about, you know, excelling in our careers and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But someone's actually wrote in and said, how to not feel guilty about wanting your job just to be a job and not a career for now. Mm.
It's funny how we kind of define career versus job. Mm. And I suppose my question to her would be, what is it? Like, what is a job? What's holding her back from that? Is it that, well, I'm doing this, but maybe it's not financially worth it? Because that's a big thing I see with my clients and on the podcast. I feel like I shouldn't be working because I'm not making enough money, right? Mm. You know, the cost of nursery, it's not worth my while. We're allowed work, even if it's not financially right in the short term. Like, why do we have to give up our careers just because it's not making enough money? So I think for this mom, it's what is an ideal job? Like, what is it that is holding her back from enjoying it?
Because I think sometimes people see, you know, lots of career women and they're like, oh my God, like, I just don't want that. You know, like they want a job to go to that maybe they can escape from the kids for a few days a week.
Yep.
They, you know, they can have, well, no, they might, you know, if it's just a job, they don't love it. They just go to it and they, you know, just go through the motions. They earn some money at the end of the month and that's all it is. But I think a lot of people can feel like they can't say that because they have to be loving it if they're leaving their kids to do it.
Yeah. And I think for me, I'm in a very privileged position that I adore what I'm doing. And I'd say even if my business was making a loss, I'd probably keep doing this because it has fundamentally made me a happier person, which means I'm a better mother, a better partner. I'd say if you told my husband in the morning, I'm giving up the business, he'd probably be like, no, 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 like stop this. So I think it's about, again, it's the rules and the shoulds. You should only work if it's making money. No, if you're happy, if you're getting personal growth from it, having a hot cup of coffee, talking to adults, humans, like do it.
Yeah.
To anybody in this room that's maybe floundering a bit with that balance on how to navigate everything we've been speaking about tonight, what is the final word from Laura Guckian?
Oh my goodness, just block out the shoulds. Like think about one thing that you want in your life. Maybe it's missing, maybe it's something extra. And think about why do you want it? Is it a should? Is it a should? Like, is it pressure because you see your friends or is it something you genuinely need and want? And just do it. Like, life is too short. And I always say this. Sometimes the fear of judgment gets to us. But actually, I can say, having supported 4,000 mums and hearing all the mum fessions on our podcast, everyone's just too busy worried about themselves. And I mean that in the nicest possible way. But we're in our own heads. I really don't care what anyone else is doing. It has nothing to do with me. And when you start realizing that, and that's coming from someone who I'm autistic, I'm very self-conscious, spent my life worrying about what others think, doesn't matter. Like life is too short. Just do whatever you need and want to be a happier mum.
Brilliant. Well, that's a great note to finish on. Thank you so much to each and every one of you. Please, please, please say a massive thank you to the wonderful Laura Guckian.
Yay!
And to every single person in this room, thank you so much for coming tonight.
No, Rob, big, 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 big thanks. I'll let Zoe do like the gushy stuff because that's just not what I do.
Jesus, that's why they pay me the big bucks. No, seriously, genuinely, it's been so lovely meeting you all. Obviously, it's Wednesday night in London, so you can go and have a drink. You're allowed. It's allowed. It's Wednesday. But no, thank you for supporting us. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Yeah. And we hope to see you very soon at the next one.
Thanks, guys.
Brilliant. I mean, round of applause to her. I mean, the messages that came in from people that were there, you know, that evening and people that know Laura, it's all positive stuff, just how much she's helped them.
Exactly.
Everyone needs a Laura in their lives.
It was so great to hear from people who listened to her on the podcast the first time round and then who have gone out and you know, used her services and had like one-to-one coaching with her or, you know, attended one of her workshops or something like that. So, yeah, it's brilliant. And it just shows that these things are actually so important and it's so important to give yourself the time to like work out how, you know, how your life is structured and what you need and your wants versus your needs. And it's you have to do it. You can't just push these things aside.
No, you can't. And I don't know about you, George, but and anybody else listening that kind of goes through their days, you know, we all know the routine that we have to do at home, whatever that looks like for you. But if you don't spend any time putting back into yourself or asking yourself the question, you know, what do I need? What's going to make my life better? How can I make myself feel more fulfilled? You know, what you just get to the end of the day, cook dinner again for the second time, and then sit on the sofa and watch Netflix and feel disconnected and just a bit like meh, like what is this life? So Laura just really makes you identify, ask yourself the right questions and identify what you need. I think she's amazing. Brilliant. Thank you to Laura.
Absolutely loved her.
And as always, thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. If you could rate, review, subscribe and follow the podcast, that means you'll never miss an episode.
Yeah, and any feedback or guests you'd like to hear from, then drop us a DM on Instagram at Made by Mamas, and we'll be back on Friday. Made by Mamas is an Insanity Studios production, and today's episode was produced by the lovely Charlotte Mason.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.